the Republicans to wake up. The Republican Party right now is not led by conservatives. There's a population out there that has to be told the truth. We have to. Do it live!
Now, from the left coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
Hey, thanks for downloading the latest episode of the Peter B. Collins Show. We are supported by great listeners like Teresa Paris, Joe Kells, Michelle Pasco, and Gail of Created by Gail. If you can help and you'd like to, go to peterbcollins.com. The link is on my homepage on the right side there. And our voluntary subscriptions start as low as $5 a month. You're about to hear a live report from Cairo, Egypt. Recorded just before noon Pacific time on the 1st of February. The situation there, very fluid, still could go negative. But you're going to hear an upbeat report from Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink for Peace, based here in San Francisco. And a quick note to listeners, I'm going to take a week off, so your next podcast will be coming about a week from now. And we'll lead off with an interview with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan, who's quite expert on these issues and I think should have some important observations. Joining us now from Cairo, Egypt, here on the 1st of February, it's Medea Benjamin, the co-founder of Code Pink Women for Peace, based here in San Francisco. Medea, it's great to talk with you. Give us an idea of what things have been like today in Cairo, where as many as a million people were expected to demonstrate.
Well, hey, Peter, great to be on the show. It's a little noisy because there's a helicopter overhead and we're out in the streets. By the way, there's supposed to be a curfew, but nobody seems to care about it, especially not the million people who are in the Tahrir Square, the Liberation Square. And it's just amazing to see people taking control of their country. They feel like the government never represented them, and this is the first time they have a voice. This is the first time they feel proud of being Egyptian. They've organized themselves unbelievably. In the neighborhoods, they're cleaning the streets, they're cleaning the square. Imagine a million people and it's clean. They are keeping the shops safe, they're protecting their communities, and they are engaged in intense political discussions everywhere you go. It's quite an amazing, miraculous thing to see.
And Medea, this has to be so different because you've been to Cairo several times over the last few years organizing efforts to take people into the Gaza Strip. And in the past, when I've talked to you or Colonel Ann Wright, it's been a kind of a thug fest where you had to always look over your shoulder. And whenever you attempted to demonstrate, the goons from the Interior Ministry would descend on you in very short order. So this must be liberating for you as well, and Liberation Square, Tahrir Square, is the center, the focal point of these demonstrations in Cairo.
Well, that's right. We were here a year ago in that same square where we could barely do anything. The Egyptians who came to be with us were dragged away by government goons. The police were everywhere. We were out on the streets getting hit in the head and had our people beaten up. And now to be in that same square and recognize that it's really been liberated by the people is a sight to behold. Everybody's smiling. You know, people say they realize that they haven't been smiling very much for the last 30 years. There was a family that I talked to last night about 1 in the morning, a mother and a father and 2 kids. And I said, I hope you're going to get some sleep tonight because they're sleeping outside with no blankets. And the father said, we don't need to sleep. We've been sleeping for 30 years. And they're too excited to even sleep. It's just amazing. And as we're walking down the street now, you just see people so animated and feeling like whose streets are streets is not just a slogan here in Cairo.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the sense of what people think is next. Clearly, the desire is to get Mubarak to step down. He is resisting, but he hasn't, pulled his security cords. And, you know, it doesn't appear that the army would cooperate in a crackdown at this point, even if he tried.
Oh, I don't think so. There was a captain in the army today who's in the square with the people, and they were lining up to give him hugs. It was really a beautiful thing to see. And the people are talking with the soldiers all the time. They're passing them food and drink and hugging them. It would be very hard to get the army to turn against the people at this point. And what people are saying is, look, we want an interim government. There's plenty of people who are capable, who could help us in this interim space to write a constitution, to prepare for the first free and fair elections in our lifetime. People are saying, look, you know, it's not like we like one leader over the other. It's about their platforms, and we want to see their platforms. I ask people, are you afraid of a Islamic State? What about the Muslim Brotherhood? And they say, we're not afraid of that at all because it's not going to happen here. Majority of people want a secular state. And I said, yeah, but the Muslim Brotherhood is more organized than the rest of you. And they said, watch what happens. We're going to organize ourselves so quickly. They also feel that the Muslim Brotherhood is not a radical organization. So there's plenty of discussions about what comes next. But right now people are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's getting rid of Mubarak.
And Medea, you said something important there that Americans don't have the context or the background for, but that's about the aims of the Muslim Brotherhood, because certainly there have been many radicalized members of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they were radicalized by torture and other pernicious treatment at the hands of Mubarak and his new vice president, Suleiman. And so absent Mubarak, the Muslim Brotherhood has an opportunity to redefine itself, and I, for one, am prepared to wait and see exactly how they proceed.
Well, that's right. And the other thing that radicalized them is corrupt elections, because the more reformists who insisted on going the route of participating in government-run elections were then mocked by the more radical ones who said, you know, see, you participate, and when we win, they take the seats away from us, or the next election is rigged so we won't get any seats. So, yes, the whole system has really served to make it impossible to make changes through the participatory democracy.
Mm-hmm.
and made the more radical elements of the Muslim Brotherhood stronger. So now we'll see a big change. I've talked to a lot of people in the square who are with the Muslim Brotherhood, and it's interesting because you see conversations happening. When I ask one, do you think there should be an Islamic State? And they say, oh, yes, yes, yes. And the people right next to them will start arguing, no, no, no. But it's done in a sense of real camaraderie.
Uh-huh.
So at this moment, people feel like, look, there's going to be a vote, and it's going to be a free and fair vote this time. And people in Egypt, for the vast majority, they are secular, or they believe in a secular state. And so they really don't fear the possibility of Egypt turning into an Islamic state.
And how do they respond to this appointment of Suleiman as vice president? Do they consider it farcical and laugh it off? Are they angry that Mubarak thought he could placate people with an appointment like this?
They think it's ridiculous. They think that this is going to last for maybe a couple of days, but they think it's farcical. And they have a lot of signs out that say, you know, no to Suleiman, no to Mubarak. So, yes, people don't think that this makes any sense. They think it's both farcical and they're angry about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mohammed al-Baradei gets a lot of play in the Western media, and I think he is a decent man who certainly cares about Egypt. It doesn't appear that he has any real political base there, yet it does seem that the Muslim Brotherhood and some groups are rallying around him as at least an interim figure. What is your sense there at Tahrir Square of who people might embrace, at least in the short term, until elections can be set and the liberation of political speech and political parties can allow for the real development of candidates both at the legislative and at the executive level?
A lot of people say that he's a good administrator and he would be very good for that interim kind of a role to then turn things over to more of the political parties or people who wanted to run through political parties. So, yes, there's a sense that he might be the person for this kind of an interim job. But certainly people don't want to put their hopes and dreams on one person anymore. They say the time of that is long gone, and they would rather think about committees, about some kind of council of respected individuals who would come together to play that interim role.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And to what extent do you hear expression against the United States and against the sense that the U.S. government wants to try to control the emerging democratic process in Egypt?
There's a lot of anger over the role the United States has played over these years and how much support that it's given to Mubarak these past three decades. But there also is a sense of we've got to give the United States the space to reject Mubarak and take a different position. Many people are very practical. They know that the United States is powerful. They know it would be better if the United States does not oppose a new government. And so they're saying that while they're not happy with the role the U.S. has played even recently, they did not like at all the statements made by Hillary Clinton early on about Egypt being a stable country. They did not like the waffling of saying how Mubarak was an important ally. But they are ready to give the benefit of the doubt to the U.S. government if indeed it helps with the transition. People don't want to see violence. They don't want to see a war with Israel. They don't want Egyptian policy to be the same as it was towards placating the militaristic policies of Israel. But they certainly don't want to see a war either. Mm-hmm. People are very peaceful. They've been peaceful. I mean, having a million people in the streets and behaving as peacefully as they have been these last couple of days, I think is an indication of what they want to see modeled in a new government.
And Medea, we see that this is a virus that could be quite contagious. King Abdullah in Jordan has fired his cabinet and ordered new liberal policies of political freedom and political speech. And to what extent do you think that George W. Bush had a vision, just the absolute backwards way of trying to express it and implement it? Is there a kind of domino effect that is potential there of these dictatorships and premierships, emirships in the Middle East?
It's definitely what people are feeling here. In fact, I had an interview today with a young man, and I said, are you proud to be Egyptian? And he says, never been prouder in my life. But I'm proud to be from the Middle East because what we're doing here is going to transform the Middle East. The Tunisia was a small country. We're a major country. And, yes, you're going to see the domino effect. And they're all kind of taking bets and joking about what country is next. But there's certainly a sense that Egypt is going to lead the way, that Mubarak will not be able to withstand the pressure here. and that this is going to inspire people in Yemen and Jordan and Syria, in so many different places, both pro and anti-Western governments that have been oppressing their people.
Mm-hmm. And Medea, you have been long advocating for the power of people and populism. And you've had faith in individuals and the, you know, variety of people that you've met with over the years as you created an alternate a source of information and help for people in Iraq. And you have advocated for individuals from Afghanistan. You're very dedicated to the liberation of the Palestinian people. So just take a victory lap here, if you would, for a moment, because I really think that what we're seeing is a true vindication of the faith that you have had in the power of individuals.
Well, that's right. And when we were here last year, we were approached by so many Egyptians who were so excited to see foreigners protesting in their country and the police not being able to crush it as easily as they would do if they were Egyptians. We found out how many people in Egypt were trying to change their government. And I felt at that time that this is a powder keg and it's not going to be able to last very long. Well, little did I know that 1 year later we would be seeing what's happening on the streets today. And I say it's a miracle because it's what the Egyptian people are saying. They thought that they were a stupid people. They thought they were a indifferent people. They thought they were a people who weren't courageous. And now they look at each other and they're smiling and hugging each other. And they're just bragging about how wonderful it is to be an Egyptian, to realize that they have the courage, that they have the voice, that they have the vision to bring down this very powerful dictatorship. So it is indeed a time of inspiration, not just for Egyptians, but for anybody who believes in people power.
And Medea, what is your speculation about the reaction by members of the Netanyahu government in Israel?
I think the Israeli government has good reason to fear what's going on here because the policies of a new government will not be the same policies. People here are very upset at the way the Egyptians have collaborated with the Israelis to oppress the Palestinians. They feel that the Palestinians are their brothers and sisters. They feel that Mubarak was really a puppet of both the United States and the Israelis. So things will change on that front. And so, of course, the Israelis are very concerned. They're hanging on to Mubarak till the bitter end. But it will mean a sea change in Egyptian policy towards Israel. But I do want to reiterate that the Egyptians don't want to see a war with Israel. They don't want to see violence. They want to see peaceful coexistence, but they want a kind of peaceful coexistence that recognizes the rights of the Palestinians.
Well, and this could really have a favorable impact on what I've often referred to as the balance of terror in the Middle East. And this could disrupt the status quo in a way that forces Israel to confront many of the policies that you've been so actively agitating against.
I think it could produce very positive changes in the lives of the Palestinians as well, because I think that Israel is recognizing what a possible tinderbox this is for the people of Palestine, too, who see that their own rulers, both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, have been corrupt, have been oppressive, and just as they are looking at the people of Egypt overthrowing the corruption of their government, the Palestinians are also wanting, desiring, longing to have a freer and more open society. And that would force changes from the Israeli side as well.
Mm-hmm.
Things could all go negative. They could go negative in Egypt. They could reverberate in a very violent way. But I think the sentiment here is that it's much more likely that there will be positive outcomes and that it will force a change in the Israeli government.
And Medea, before we wrap up, what would you like to add here that you've observed in your days on the ground there in Cairo as this movement is building and we're all hopeful and aspire with the Egyptian people that it's going to have a very positive outcome?
Well, I'm sorry it took so long for the U.S. government to withdraw support from Mubarak. I'm sorry there hasn't been a stronger solidarity movement in the United States with the people of Egypt. I'm sorry that we, as American citizens, allowed our government to give nearly $2 billion a year in military aid to this regime that used it to oppress its own people. And I think we better take a serious look at our policies around the world, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or the increase in drone attacks under the Obama administration in Pakistan and Yemen and elsewhere. This does have serious effects on the way people around the world look at us. I think the people of Egypt are extremely hospitable towards Americans, given what our government has done to keep them under the boot of Mubarak for all these years. And so I guess I would say to the American people that it's time for us to really wake up, to stop our government from supporting dictators all over the world, and to force the kind of changes in foreign policy that we want to see and to take inspiration from what the people in Egypt are doing.
Well, Medea, I thank you for the hard work that you've done during the dark ages of the Bush administration and, frankly, the disappointing moves of the Obama administration in its first 2 years. But this really does seem to be the kind of sunshine, sunlight disinfectant that will force the kind of reevaluation you're calling for. And I do agree with you that the American people have to press our government to update our policies to reflect these new realities.
Well, that's right. And stop looking at people in the Arab world as all potential terrorists. I can't wait to get back and go speaking around the country and showing the footage and the pictures of these beautiful Egyptians from all walks of life and what they have done to change the course of history.
Medea, great to talk to you today, and thanks for joining us from Cairo.
Okay, thanks so much, Peter.
We'll continue to watch the situation in Egypt and hope for the best outcomes. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.